Poker Tov world. I see Gavi was able to come today. What time is the Brit, Gav? We thought we were going to miss you.
It's this afternoon, 3:30.
Oh my gosh. Okay. What can you do?
Unfortunately, the mother wasn't available earlier.
Well, I'm assumed. The baby didn't want to miss Dafyomi or anything, so okay, good. We're starting on. Okay, we start today a new perek, and even though Richie had promised to start us off, I don't think that he's arrived in time. And so we're starting. Listen, I mean, there was no question. Once we actually got Shmuel Chanina to say that sounds reasonable, there was no way to fight it. And Zoom has even put him next to Barnea today, which has never happened, which shows like a new Kiruv HaLevavos. I can't believe it. A tikkun for Rosh Hashanah. What can you say? Okay. So remember that we learned in the Torah, "Zeh yet mishpat ha'kohanim me'et ha'am me'et zovcheh ha'zevach im shor imseh." Okay, so we'll have to understand what this means. Mishpat ha'kohanim. In what sense is it a mishpat? Me'et ha'am. How is that different from me'et zovcheh ha'zevach? And shor imseh means nothing but shor imseh. There's no chiyuv of what's about to follow on anything but a shorim seh, and it has to be of a korban, it seems to be saying. Zovcheh hazevach, but actually, zovcheh hazevach just means people who do shechita, not a korban. So all of a sudden, we have a relationship of people to kohanim outside of korbanos. Now, the question is this dafka outside of korbanos, or would it include also on korbanos? We'll see in the Mishnah. V'natan Hazroa, which of course will define precisely what area of the leg is considered to be the zroa. The lechayayim will also define, and the keva, which is the left stomach. Okay, all to be defined later. But first, let's talk about our standard template. Remember, we have a template for the Mishnayis of the specific mitzvahs, and they all read the same, even though there's no chiddush in much of what's read, but all of them have one aspect that is a chiddush. So once again, we go through the template, bifnei habayit, v'shelo bifnei habayit, sorry, ba'aretz, b'chutz la'aretz, which we would think there's no need for, but it's our template. We know it's not a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. So it's clear that, of course, it'll apply all over. Although it does sound sort of funny to give kohanim things in chutz la'aretz, you know? But okay, the Maaseh is not really a chiddush in it. And it doesn't matter whether there's a Beis HaMikdash built or not yet built, b'chulin avalo b'mukdashim, but it's only not in Hegdash. So when it says Zovcheh HaZevach, it means specifically a shechita of chulin. And we'll see how we know that. But if it's Hegdash, there's no din of Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva. There the Kohen gets the chevek that is miyuchat for him in the particular carbon. If it's a zovcheh hazevach, normally that refers to zevach shlamim. And in a zevach shlamim, the kohen does have a chevek, but his chevek is not the zroah and the lechayim and the keva. His chevek is the chazeh and the shok. So for some reason, we switch the zroah lechayim and the keva to a chazeh and a shok when it comes to head. Shaya b'din, I mean, you would have thought, wouldn't you, based on just logic, if chulin, well, the Kohen has no chelek in usually, Mayim Chulin. They don't have a chiyuv of chazav v'shok, and nonetheless, there is a chiyuv to give these matonas. Zroah l'chayayim v'keva are part of what the menat ha'kohanim are, and they are referred to specifically as the matanot, the group of three gifts to the Kohen. So you would have thought that if Chulin, which doesn't have a chiyuv of chazav v'shok, is nonetheless chayiv in the matanot of Zroah l'chayayim v'keva, so Koshek and Kachim, shechayavim b'chazav v'shok always, of course, would be at least minimally chayiv in the same thing that Chulin is chayiv, wouldn't you? Ein odin shechayavim b'matanot. That's why the Torah has to make clear, Talmud lomar, Ve'etin otam la'aron ha'kohen u'levanav l'chol korban. Now, interestingly, this pasuk ve'etin otam is in the parsha of Chaz v'Shok, not in Zevah l'chayim v'keiva. So what the Torah says is, I am giving the chazei ha'tnufa and the shok ha'truma lakachti mi'et b'nei Yisrael mi zivchei shalmehem ve'etin otam la'aron ha'kohen. So this is something that is given specifically to the Kohenim who do the Aveda, which is why it mentions Aaron HaKohen. It doesn't say anything about Aaron HaKohen in the Matanos. This is given to the Triyanim specifically, L'chok Olam Me'et B'nei Yisrael. Why does it say Otam? Vetnam. Vetin Otam means them and only them. And it's from here that we learn that actually there is a relationship between Chaz v'Shok and Zohar L'chayim v'Kiva. Where there is a chiyuv of Chaz v'Shok, there's a specific miut not to give Zerah l'chayim v'keiva. A remarkable interrelationship. Which means, otam ein lo ela ma she'amor b'inyan. The Kohen gets only what I'm about to tell you, namely the Chaz v'Shok, not the matanot. Why do we begin here? With Kol HaKadoshim Shekadam Mum Kavu LeGedeishan, sounds a little bit like we're going back to Zvachim, because this is going to be Nogea defining what type of Kachim, if they're no longer Kodesh, what would turn back into Chulin and become Chayim in Zerah L'Chayim V'Keiva again. So remember that once you had an animal that was Roi L'Mizbeach and you made it Hegdesh, it becomes Kodesh B'Kedushas HaGuf. But if the animal was not Roi L'Mizbeach, then it becomes Kodesh only Kedushas Domim. Now, there's a big difference between the two. Because Kedushas Domim, once you take off the state of Hegdesh, there is no residual Kedusha at all. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's pure Chulin. So if you were Pode Kedushas Domim, so this animal was not Roi for the Mizbeach, then you're going to have to take off the Zerah L'Chayim V'Keiva because it's just plain old-fashioned chulin. But if you had a korban that was roi for the Mizbeach and then it got a mum, even though there's a din of pidyon, it's a special din of pidyon. First of all, it requires ha'amada v'ha'aroch, a kohen. It has to be able to stand up in front of the kohen. And as far as Kachim, their only Kedushas Domim, there's a big machlokas, whether you need Hamad of Haroka. But furthermore, the most important thing is that when it comes to Hegdesh, which is Kedushas Aguf, when you're poda them, yes, it's true, you can eat them, even Hatameh, Vatahor, Yachdav, that's true, Kitzvi v'chayol, but you're only allowed to eat them. You're not allowed to shear their wool, so there wouldn't be, let's say, any din of your ability to, or chiyuv of reishis hageiz, as we're going to say. You're not even allowed to shear them. And you're not allowed to do any work with them. You can't put them to work in your field. And you can't be put to them just to feed them for dog food if they're not kosher. So those are things that are actually permanently going to define them as partially hektish, no matter what. And therefore, there's a big difference between if the mum came first before you did the hektish, or first you were magdish and then comes the mum. In the former case, there's only a kedushas dummy. And in the latter case, there's a kedushas aguf, which is never fully removed, and it's always going to be also for giza v'aveda and so on. And that's basically what the Mishnah wants to teach us now. So if a mum, now when we say a mum, it can't just be something that temporarily is no good for the Mizbeach. That does not have any impact on the ability of Kedushas HaGuf to be Chal. But if it was something like a missing leg or a cataract, it's not something that is fixable. So then if you were Poda then, they are actually chulin, and therefore chayavim bibechora uvamatanot. So they would be chayav if they have a firstborn. Then you would have to actually give the bechor. Masha inkein in the event that they were only kedushas damim, That wouldn't be true. The reason that you're not chayiv in a bechor if it's kedushas aguf is because it says tzakdish. So there, when it says the bechor bechorcho v'tzomecha tzakdish, but not if it was already kodesh. And in this case, it was already kodesh. Masha'im came here. It's once it's podoy, it's not kodesh at all. In which case, you would be chayiv for the bechora, and it's no longer considered to be a hegdish that would be roy to Chazav v'shok, and therefore we're not mamayed it from otam as opposed to kachim. And they become completely chulin. So therefore, they are yotzin l'chulin. You're allowed to go ahead and you can actually shear the wool. And you can use them le'aved. You can work with them in your field. And if they give birth, the child is chulin. And the milk, which usually is considered to still be cholav, is mutter. To be hegdash is mutter in this case, because they never were fully hegdash, they were only kedushas dami. And if you shech them outside of the Beis HaMikdash, obviously you're potter, because they are completely chulin, and they're not meant to be shochet in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you try to make a tumura, well, that's just trying to make a tumura of one chulin to another chulin, and therefore it's ridiculous. There cannot be any chulin on them. But here, what we're talking about over here would be, it has to be roi, if it was already a balmum, it cannot create a tamura even if you weren't pota it. Here it doesn't have to be chulin, because when the Torah says tov barau ra betov, that's true. But that's only where it started off as being Kodesh. But if it didn't have the level of Kedusha for the Mizbeach, it doesn't have the level of Kedusha to be Tofes and Tumura either. And if they died before you were put in them, you can even be put in them after death, because they do not need Vehenidah Kohen, Vehericha Kohenota, they don't need Ha'amadah V'haracha, according to the Man D'Yomar. Here, this is Machlokas, but according to our Mishnah, there's no problem in being part of them even after they're dead. Masha Inkain, if you're talking about something that is Rose Roy, you couldn't be part of them. And if they're not Roy, Bechlal for eating, you can't be part of them anyway, because Ain put in as a Kachim Lachil and the Klovim. So what are you being part of them for? You can't use them to work with. You can't shear their wool. You can't feed them to the dogs, and therefore in such a case, there would be no pidya. Now, how is this going to be nogea our din? Of course, this is tremendously nogea the matanot. So we bring in all of these halachas. Masha'im came. If the hegdash came first, kol shekadem hegdashin as muma, or even if there was a mum over before the hegdash, because as we mentioned earlier, a mum over has no real significance. So even a mum over, but first the kedusha aguf was chal, and la'achar mikan, after kedusha aguf was chal, they got a real mum, a mum kapua, and then you were poted them with ha'amada v'arocha and all of the requirements that are built into being poted kedusha aguf, and then what happened was, after the pidyon, they have a child, a first child. They're not going to be mechayev you to give that child to the bechora, because this is not considered to be the takdish. And over here, this is not something that gets the chiyev of bechora. And not only that, this is nogeya our chiddush here in the Mishnah. There's no chiyuv of matanais, even though you are allowed to eat them, and even though in this case there would be no din, obviously, of chazav v'shok. So we have to figure out why in this case there would be potur min matanais, and there's no way to be yotze l'chulin even after you're potur them. You're still not going to be allowed l'higazez. You're not going to allow to shear the wool. You're not going to allow to work with them in the field. And if they have a child, that child is considered to be Kodesh, the Vlad, and the milk, even after the pidyon. They are considered to be usher, and you were never put it except for one thing, just to be able to eat it. And we learn out from the Pasuk, it's for the Achila, but not for its milk and not for its avada. We'll talk about the psukim that we learned this from as we go along. In this case, if you shechted them bachutz, ashochtan bachutz would be chayav. So in the event that you shechted it before, obviously it's referring before it was potui, I mean, after it was potui, you're meant to eat it. Obviously, it's not referring to that case. But if you shechted it before it was potui, so then you would be chayav on shvut echutz. You would be chayav for shechting. So even though it's actually a balmon, so how could that be? So basically, it must be that we're going according to remember the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that we found many times, that a balmon that is something that nobody would notice but an ophthalmologist. So it's said as Dokin Shiba'ayin. The truth is that this is not a reference only to Dokin Shiba'ayin, as we saw Moshitas and Rabbi Akiva, but it means things that are not a serious kind of immediately noticeable mum, that im olu lo yered. Remember, we had that sugya back in Zvachim. And since im olu lo yered, so they are considered to be bidiyavad, they're considered to be royal mizbeach. And therefore, the iser of shutei chutz would still be mechayev them, because kol haroi lemizbeach, even though it would only be royal mizbeach in the sense of im olu lo yered, would be considered to be a chiyav of shutei chutz. Okay, so this is only true al libet Rabbi Akiva. Remember that others learn that it has to be mamish royal mizbeach, and they don't agree with Rabbi Akiva b'chlal, and that dok and shabayim are considered to be malo lo yered. We had that machlokas back in Zvachim, and the truth is that there's a different girsa in which, as the Rambam himself brings, that says that a shochter b'chutz potter, because we don't hold that dok and shabayim are considered to be malo lo yered. The osin tamura, now in this case, they would be actually osin tamura, as the pasuk says, tov v'ra, o ra b'tov. So that would mean that if before you were paid to it, you could actually make a tamura on it, even though it has a mum. Now that's some kind of question about whether this could be referring, even if, which we'll get to when we do b'chiras, even if they were podui, could they make a tamura? And that we'll see when we get to Bukharis. In metu, and if they died before you were paid to them, what are you going to do with them? They're asur ba'ana, because the only thing you could do for them, you can't give them to the dogs. You can't be paid to them because you need ha'amad of ha'aracha, and therefore you have to go and bury them like all kodesh that became nifsa. Okay, so you're telling me in this Mishnah that the only reason that we need to exclude the dinim of Kedushas Haguf from the dinah of the Matanei Sezroh L'Chayayim V'Akiva is because when it comes to the Chozer V'Shok, it says Otam, and that means only Chozer V'Shok as opposed to the Zroh L'Chayayim V'Akiva. And if it wouldn't have said that, what would I have thought? So time at the Kazrachmana Otam. Because if not, you say, well, we would have made a Kavachomer. If Kachim is Chayev and Chazav Ashok, so Koshikan it should be Chayev, at least in Wakulan is Chayev, even Israel of Rayan Vekeva. Is that really true? Halav Haki, if it wouldn't have been for that word Otam and Chazav Ashok, would I really have thought that kachim are chayavim b'matanot? I mean, you made the kavachomer, but I can show you that that kavachomer is not a very useful kavachomer. Why? Because look, ikalam ifrach malachulin shikin chayavim b'vachora. You could say that in a sense, chulin is more chomor because of the very dinim that we just learned in our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah that once something is kodesh, there's no chiyav of b'chora, because it says Yakdish, and there's already Kaddish. So maybe the reason that the Chulin is Chayev is the same reason that's Mechayev in the Bechorah. Mashen Kein, Kachim, which don't have a Chayev of the Bechorah, stands to reason that there may be other Inyanim that they would not be Chayev in, such as the Matanot. So why do I need otam? Now, what the Gemara is about to do, what the Gemara often does, it utilizes arguments that take us through many, many different dinim in order to put the entire halacha into the context of all the other halachas that surround it. And that way, when you go through this one sugya, you end up reconstructing around the dinim of the matanais all the other halachas that might be nogea. So it's a derech of the Gemara to do this, remember, all over. And it's a great opportunity to actually review so many different dinim that may have slipped your mind and put them together with the issues in the matanais. So first I say, how is it that I could learn out from a Kal Vachomer from Chulin if I just saw that Chulin is more Chomer than Hekdesh when it comes to Bechor? Okay, then let's try to learn it from Mel's Chulin. Last we heard, there's no Chiv of a Bechor on a child of a male Chulin. And that's because males don't have children. So if we take Chulin and we say, I'm so sorry, I don't know what to do with this voice problem. So if we try to learn it out of Chulin that are male, so what are you going to say? Mal Chulin that are male, that they're chayav in Bechorah. There is no Bechorah. So therefore, I could say that if there's a din of matanais, so then the same thing should be true about kachim, because there's obviously a din of matanais, even without taking into consideration the din of the Bechorah. Therefore, I need otam to tell me, no, only chaz of a shok. Yeah, but that doesn't prove anything, because zechorim actually would be chayav in reishit tageis, masha inkein. When it, the Rishon HaGeiz remembers when you do the shearing of your sheep, it's another thing Barnea's sitting there waiting for. He wants the first part of your shearings. Not bad enough, he's taken already the Zerua, the Lechayayim, the Keva, the Truma, and even the Trumas Meiser and the Bikurim. Oh my gosh, I mean, don't even think about it. 24 things. We're going to sit here and list all the things that he's walked away with. He's walking away with the Reishis HaGeiz as well.
So, I remember when Karach did that to us.
I do. Didn't hurt you very much then, I would think. I would think it wouldn't hurt you now either. We're just whetting the appetite for people to give all those matnas kahuna they haven't had an opportunity to give. So the problem is that you can't make a limud out of zecharim because zichrei chulin are chayiv in reishis hageiz. Vashenkein, there can't possibly be a chayiv of reishis hageiz on kachim because you're not even allowed to do a shearing. So therefore, maybe that's why they're chayiv in the matanais. Vashenkein by kachim, maybe indeed they're not chayiv. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll stick with the Zecharim, and we'll turn them into goats. So now, we can learn out from Chulin male goats. Okay, there's no din of Reishis HaGeiz on goats for a very good reason. Goats don't have wool. So therefore, you can't argue from Reishis HaGeiz. And there's no din of Kachim of Bechorah on male goats, because male goats don't have babies. And therefore, we can now learn out that it's a Kal Vachomer, that you should certainly be chayiv in the matanais if male goats are going to be chayiv in matanais that are not kodesh. Koshin ken kachim would be chayiv. That's why I need the pasuk to tell me only chaz of a shok. No. Now, wait a minute. Male goats, they do have something that kachim don't have, because we forgot to mention that Barnea is going to walk away with 10% of your animals too, and that would be shekein nichlasim ladir leit aser. They're going to be going into taking off meiser behema. Tanya, I didn't even know how this guy
can't. Can't Rabbi bring his own? Can't you bring your own meiser behema?
Where is he going to live in the Rova with all of this stuff? You're going to have to move. I mean, What are you going to do with all of those animals and so on?
B'mechila, I thought the Baal eats Meiser Behema.
All right, you're giving it back to me?
Yeah.
Thank you. Look at that. I was just ready to give him away my behemoths. Okay, so they have to be taken off the Meiser Behema, and actually, that's the reason that Asiriya Kodesh is talking, is a chiyuv that is the reason that you also have to take off the matanis. Maybe there's a greater level of kedusha on some level in them. And there's no din, because since it says Asiriya Kodesh, it doesn't apply to something that already is Kodesh. And therefore, what are you going to do? All right. How about if we move the limud to old goats? So now you've got an old male chulin goat, and it's already been meisered, so it doesn't have that cleave to take off meiser behema, huh? And therefore there's no problem. It doesn't have any children, so there's no cleave of bechora. It's already been meisered, so there's no cleave on it. And therefore, it doesn't have reishis hageis because it's a goat. So what are you going to ask now? Well, what do you mean an old goat? But an old goat is not going to be chayiv and meiser only because it's already been meisered already. So malat yashim, they're bezekenim. You're telling malat zekenim shekein nichlesu kvar ledir lehitaser. Obviously, they already went into the dir lehitaser. And so if that's the case, that is something of a higher level that's b'chayiv you. And because of that, maybe they're also chayiv even in the matonites. Okay. How about if we add that they are not only a male goat, but it's also a poor male orphan goat? What do you say about that? Or it's a poor male purchase goat. Now, when you buy animals, those animals are not chayiv. It has to be dafka shorcha and litzonecha. So it's the bechor banecha titen li, kein ta'ase lishorecha litzonecha. So therefore, if that's the case, if it's purchased, it isn't shorcha vitzonecha, and it's not going to be chayiv in the din of either to ever have been meisered or to be meisered. So that's not a problem. And if it's a yatom, remember that the pasuk says shivat yamim tachat imo before it's roi for a carbon. And from there we learned back in Mizvachim that if it didn't survive tachat imo at all, and actually it was it was orphaned at birth, so that the mother died immediately. The lesson of the Gemara was Zeporesh Lechayim, Vezeporesh Lemavet. So in that case, it's not Chayev, because it's not Roy to be a Karban, because it has to be Shivat Yamim Tachat Imo. So therefore, we could take an old, doesn't even have to be old anymore, because now if it's a Yatom, and a lakuach, all we need is a male goat that was a yotom, and it's not going to be chayev in anything that the kachim was not chayev in, and therefore it would be a kal v'chomer if there's a chiyev of the matanais, even on a male goat that's a yosin. So koshiken, there would be a chiyev on the behemoth of kodesh. Therefore, the Torah had to tell us specifically that that's not the case, and only otam. Doesn't that make sense? Says the Gemara, you can't bring a rye from there either, because the status of being a yatom or purchased, I mean, that's not definitive of the whole group. It happens to be that this particular yachid has that din, right? But maybe minam, goats in general would need to be nichnasim ledir lehitaser. So why not say that it would still be an extra chiyuv on goats of chulin that you don't have on goats that would be kodesh. And therefore, you can't bring the raya anymore. No, if you're going to ask that question, b'minam, this is what you're going to bring me a raya from, minam. I mean, that would be true even of kachim. So you can say the same thing. It happens to be that this animal is kodesh. That's great. But what about the overall status of goats? The overall status of goats are definitely going to be something that is a chayiv. So what would be the nafkamina between kodesh and chol? You obviously can't use minam to be a question. So then that means that if you've got a lakuach or a yatom, then you're in a situation where there's no thing that is more of a chiyav on them than is a chiyav on hegdash. And therefore, we now have a good kal vachomer. If something is chayav on chaz v'shok, kol shekein, it's going to be chayav in the matanis. That explains why we needed otam. Okay, so now that is a given, we can argue the opposite, can't we? Let's start in the other direction. Now that we know that kochim are not chayev in the matanais, let's make a kal vachomer that chulin is actually chayev in chozer v'shok from the opposite argument. Because if kochim, which are not chayev in matanot, are actually going to be chayev in the matanais, so kol shekein, chulin, these kachim are not chayiv matanais, I mean they're chayiv b'chaz of a shok, chulin, which are chayiv in matanais, and a din shechayavim b'chaz of a shok, so therefore they should certainly be chayiv, and the otam isn't memaya them. So what exactly is the reason that we don't take a chaz of a shok now from chulin? You're right. That's why the Torah actually has to, this is remarkable, has to exclude Chozer v'Shok, guess from where? From the Matanais. So the reciprocal relationship works all around. Since it says by the Matanais, v'zeh yiyeh mishpat ha-kohanim me'edzobchei ha-zevach and so on, zeh, this and only this, in But midi achrini, what would the midi achrini be? The b'chaz v'shok? No, that is not. So therefore, we have a limud in kachim that excludes the b'chaz v'shok, excludes the matanais, and we have a limud in chulin that the matanais exclude b'chaz v'shok. So we see that there is definitely a strong relationship between them.
Rabbi, just to say the older Gemaras have a misprint.
I'm sorry?
The older Gemaras have a misprint and have it as Deuteronomy 19. It's Deuteronomy 18:3.
What is Deuteronomy exactly?
Dvarim.
Oh.
It's a Christian reference, so I say it in English.
I see. Okay, well. Thank you for the tikkun. Is that a tikkun even in the Oz v'Hadar?
I don't have that. I have the shas we bought in our first year with Pinchas Sonnenberg in the Swarp Star. I don't know the other.
Okay, wow. Okay. So now we have the same problem about the kal vachomer in the opposite direction, which required the posik of ze yeh mishpat hakohanim. So you're telling me the only reason that there's no din of chozer v'shok in chulin is because of the fact that it said ze yeh mishpat hakohanim. But if it wouldn't have been for that, alav achi, hava amina chulin chayavim b'chozer v'shok, why? How do you think you would be able to do chazav v'shok and chulin? After all, it's the chazay. What is the chazav v'shok? The chazay ha-tenufa, the shok ha-truma, both of them need tenufa. Where in the world do you think you're going to do the tenufa? Since it says in the pasuk, lifnei Hashem, beferish, How could you possibly do it lifnei Hashem? So where would you do the tenuf? Hechelenu funinu. You're going to do it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It says beferish lifnei Hashem, so you wouldn't be yotzei the tenufa. If you do it inside of the Beis HaMikdash, so then kumayo chulin lazor, then you would be bringing in beiser, doing things to chulin in the azora. So there's no possible way that there would be a chiyuv of chazav v'shok on chulin. So I don't know what you need this pasuk for. It makes no sense. You know something? You're right. So what is this zeh coming to tell me? Ella zeh lamali. Oh, so the zeh must be coming to tell me something else. That is, the Omer of Chista, zeh yemishpat, means that if the actual matana is there, zeh, and you can point to it, that is the mishpat ha-kohanim, and that's what you're mechuyev to get to the kohen. But if you're mazik the matnas kohen, or you eat the matnas kuna yourself, and they're no longer there, you don't have to pay the Kohen for what it is that you did. And so whatever you would do, if as long as they're not around, you can't point to them, even if you were nene from them, and you ate them yourself directly, you mazik them, maybe threw them into a fire. You could say, okay, I didn't get any benefit of that. But even if you ate them, you don't even have to pay the hana that you had from them. You don't owe it to the kohen. Why is this? So, ibayit ema. So, okay, Rav Chista, I mean, we're saying it's because it says zeh. And zeh means you can still point to it and it still exists. And therefore, if it's no longer in existence, you don't have any chiyuv to make it up. Or Vibayasema. Now there might be a way in which I would know that even without the pasuk of Zeyeh Mishpat HaKohanim. Mishum Dahavele Mamon She'in Lo Tov'im. Maybe it was because we have a klal that in order to file suit, we don't have a concept of a class action suit in the Torah. A suit has to be brought by an individual who has a right to demand payment for something. Now, there's no particular Kohen who can come along and say, this you were supposed to give to me, because the Bialim can always say, I don't have to give it to you. I was going to give it to somebody else. So I don't know what you're doing here. Get out of here. So then that would mean there is no way to file suit. And I don't need the pusik to exclude the payment. Now, l'chora, there would be a very big difference between the two. Because if it's basically v'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohanim, it means that the Torah never actually gave a chiyuv at all. In which case, it wouldn't even be, once it's destroyed, it wouldn't even be a chiyuv, let's say, yidei shamayim, if it says v'zeh. This is the chiyuv. If it's not there, you don't have a chiyuv, so there's no din of making it up. But if it's from just the fact that nobody is there to take you to court, so then that would mean that mi'ikar adin, you stole from a class, the class of the kohanim, and you would have to pay back. So l'chora, there's a big difference between the two ways that we're saying over here. So I'll leave it to Reb Chista, there wouldn't even be a chiyuv latzis yidei shamayim. The problem is, as the Gemara, the Brita says that mishpat hakohanim. The word mishpat implies go to court, right? So that's melamed shamatanot din. That teaches us that these matanais are actually something that's enforceable, right? I mean, they're a din. A din means that they can be taken to court. I mean, what does that mean? I only think it means practically. Doesn't that mean that the dayanim can force you to repay? Lav lo tzian be dayanim. So then apparently you can't say that it's considered to be ein lo tovim if the Torah actually says that you could take it to court. So a Kohen comes along. The guy says, I want to give it to a different Kohen. He can still take you to court until you gave it to somebody else. And you can't say it's none of your business. I mean, that's what the Mishpat comes to tell me. Says the Gemara, no. You know what it means, says Rav Chista? It means it's a matter of court action to define what type of Kohen is able to get the matanais. Kiddur of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. It's to make the determination of who gets it, but not the fact that you have to pay it. The honor of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rabbi Yonatan, Minayin She'in Notnim Matana LeKohen Amor. It's how do we know that a Kohen who is not going to be a Baki in the dinim of how it is that the Matanis need to be treated, that you're not allowed to give them that Matana in the first place? Shenemar Vayomer la'am liyoshvei Yerushalayim l'teit minat hakohanim v'alaviim l'man yechezku b'torat Hashem. So since it says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when he went out to be mechadesh, to everybody should be nichnas l'bris, it should be mekabel all of the dinim and so on, that he made that a takana to give to Kohanim Leviim who are machzik b'toras Hashem, which teaches us that what he was saying was kol machzik b'toras Hashem yesh lo menat. As long as this Kohen is able to keep all of the halachas of it and is a baki in those halachas, then you give him yesh lo menat. But she'eino machzik b'toras Hashem, he doesn't care enough to know the dinim of these matanais, you're not allowed to give it to him. So ein lo menat, and a kohen amor is by definition, we say we don't trust his tumah of the tyra and so on. We're not allowed to give it to him. So that's why it says mishpat was to be merames, and this maybe is what Chizkiyahu HaMelech was actually being semech on, that since it says mishpat, it means that Bezdin should have a right to define which kohen you give it to, and therefore the court can intervene. If you're trying to give a matanas to a Kohen Am Haaretz, they can stop you from giving him. That's the Mishpat, but it doesn't mean that the Kohen can take you to court. All right, says the Gemara, what's Reb Chista going to do with this Braita? Tashma, Reb Yehuda ben Metera Omer, when it says, Zeyet Mishpat HaKohanim Melamed Shamatanot Din. You might think, again, and this is another relationship between Chozev Ashok and the Matanais, you might think that even a Chozev Ashok is also a din, whatever that din means, Talmud Lomar, ze ye. So again, there's a difference between Chozev Ashok and Matanot. Now, you can't tell me that that difference is L'cholkon B'dayanim, because, I mean, obviously, if we're makbid that a Kohen Am Haaretz shouldn't be allowed to eat, shouldn't be given the Matanot, Koshiken, he shouldn't be given a Chozev Ashok. I mean, it can't mean that. So, Ilema, if you're going to tell me that what the meaning of this din is l'chol koba dayonim, like you're claiming over here, Reb Chista, that it only means that the court doesn't allow you to give it to an Am Haaretz, what, and Chozev Ashok you are? Oh, to Chozev Ashok, you're telling me that Bezdin isn't going to get involved if you try to give Chozev Ashok, I mean, much more chamur, and they have to be makbid on Tuma, and so on and so forth, and you're going to allow people to give their Chozev Ashok to a Kohen Am Haaretz? Of course not. So then what does it mean? The din, if it doesn't mean to be mechalek b'dayanim, it must mean el alav lo tzi b'dayanim. So apparently Rav Chista is wrong. The Kohen can take you to court? No. We're talking about a different case. We're talking about a case where the matanot were already in the hands of the Kohen. And now somebody takes them away from the Kohen, and it's coming to tell me that the Kohen can sue them. Talk my skin and the Otu Liyade. What? If it was Otu Liyade, it's like anything else that the Kohen owns. I don't need a posik to tell me that if a Kohen owns something, that if you steal from him, he can take you to court. Why would I need a posik for that? If it's Otu Liyade, Mayim Lameima. So what possible Kiddush is there if it already came into his possession? I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course not, it's legally his, no? Ah, no. It did come into his possession, but it didn't come into his possession because he was given it. So how did he get it? So basically, what happened is, maybe he was the shomer on this particular shchita, and he was never given the matanas, but he says to himself, you know, once this animal is in my rishus, and the matanais are basically hefker, so I think I'll just keep them for myself. So he was zocha to them min hefker, meaning he took it while the animal was still tevel. Now, wait a minute. So in other words, they didn't even exist as separate matanais? I mean, don't we need the matanais to actually be taken off in order for them to be called matanais? Isn't there a din of calling them the matanais? Because Kosava Haitana, and this was a fascinating Gavi rule that we had before Legabe Truma as well. Matanot Shelo Hurmu, Kemishu Hurmu Damyan. Even though you haven't separated them out, they still have a din as if they were separated. And that means once you were chayev because you did the shechita, so then they are, according to one man diyama, they are already considered to be the chiyuvim, and that would be true also about Shabbos and Maaseres. And we said that that gives you a right to take them. In which case, this is goof for the chiddush of that braita. If the kohen had already been zoicha in them as the animal was tevel but was in his rishus, matanesh lo hurmu damyan, and that explains why the braita says that you would have to pay the kohen back and he could take you to court. Okay, so therefore it would have nothing to do with Rav Chisda. Toshma. Okay, we have another problem with Rav Chisda. Take a look at an actual Mishnah which seems to be going against Rav Chisda. Now, the reason that we're learning this Mishnah here is because Shmuel Chanina is very frustrated about not getting to Peah. So, in order to include the Mishnah in Peah in today's learning, so this is Perek Hey Mishnah Dalet. What does it say? Baal Habayit Shayao Ver. So here there's a guy who's traveling and his credit cards are pickpocketed. Now he has nothing to eat. What should he do? If he's tzarech, if he needs food, he can go ahead and hotel, and being as he has no food, he can take leket shikha peya meiser ani, all the things that were due for the poor. And then when he comes home, he'll return it to the aniyim. So you see that if you eat something that was meant, it wasn't even given to them, it was meant to be given to them, and you ended up taking them, so then you would actually have to pay. So if that's true, so then if it was something that was meant to be given to the Kayanim, are they different than the other matanot that are given to Aniyim? You see that if you're mechuyev to give something, so then you have to pay it back. So why isn't that true of matnais kavuna? Amar Rav Chisda, no, that's just midas chasidas shanukah. This is like, this isn't meant that you're mechuyev mamish. It means if you're a big chasid, then you'll pay it back when you get home and you find your credit, get your new credit cards. What, says Rava, what kind of answer is that? Look at the language in the Mishnah. Yishalem, you're going to pay. Now, don't tell me you're going to pay means if you're a good guy and you wanted to. No, the Tana says Yishalem, and that's an absolute. And you go around, tippy-toeing through the tulips. Well, if you want to, if you're a big tzaddik, it says Yishalem. That means you're going to have to pay. So don't tell me. Anyway, but think about it. Lamaisa, do you really think that we're bringing a raya from Rebbe Eliezer when the Mishnah has the Chachamim that are a much bigger raya? So why would we stop here and bring the raya from Rebbe Eliezer? Actually, you could go ahead and learn the raya from the Seifa, because the Chachamim say, why would he have to pay it back when he gets home? A guy who's wandering on the streets and has nothing to eat and has no credit cards is basically homeless, and therefore he is an ani at that time, isn't he? Ani hayabo tasha'a. And therefore, why would he have to pay it back? It was meant for aniyim, and he is an ani. So, what does that mean? That means only because he was an ani. Suppose he did have his credit cards, and he sees this nice peya, leket, shikha, meiser ani, and he says, I should bother using my credit card when all of this is hefker. I'll take some for myself. Mashma, that if he was an usher and he did that, he would have to pay. Now, why should he have to pay? According to you, Rifkista, Lahavika Mazik Matmot Kehunah Shachlan, why would that not be? As you say, if it is actually no longer there, even if you had hanah from it and ate it yourself, you say you don't have to pay. And here the Mishnah says you do have to pay. And that's not because of Rabbi Eliezer. It's here that Rav Chisda said, Om Rav Chisda Midas Chasida Shanukan. That makes perfectly good sense. The Chachamim never used the word Yishalem, did they? They said, Oni Ayabotasha'a. And we made an implication, mashma, that if he wasn't an anibotasha'a, that then he would actually have to pay. But, I mean, it could be that that implication is midas chasidus. I can't tell you that you were an ani and deserve to take it. I mean, I think you should deal with the issue. Okay, but it doesn't mean you can be taken to court. That is still perfectly good. I'll leave it to Rav Chisda. Tashma. Okay, what about this braita? Minayin lebaal habayit shachal perotav tivalim, or a levi shachal masrotav tivalim. So somebody ate without taking off trumas and maizos. Or maybe a levi ate without taking out trumas, taking out the trumas maaser. So that's also called teva. So minayin shepatur min hatashlumim. How do we know that if he already ate it, he doesn't have to pay it back as if he had eaten truma? So it's lost, it's lost. Minayin shepatur min hatashlumim. Talmud lomar, v'lo yechalalu es kachei b'nei Yisrael asher yorimu l'Hashem. Ein lecha ben ala mish'at harama v'elech. The Kohen has no rights to this stuff until it was already muram as truma. But before it was muram as truma, and now the balabayit ate the tevel, he's not mechuyev to recap, to give any kind of compensation to the Kohen or the Levi. Now, that implies, does it not, that post-harama, I mean, the whole point of the pasuk is, before you took off the truma, there's no chiyuv. But after you took off the chiyuv and you ate it at that time, you would have to pay. But this is connected exactly what Rav Chisda said. Am I? Lahavi kemazik matnot kiunah shachala. Why isn't this exactly the case that Rav Chisda says you're potter from paying? Answers the Gemara, Hokanami, we'll have to say that this is the same case that we had before. It's talking about the Otuli Adebitiv Layu, because Sava Haitana Matanochilu Hurmu Kimishu Hurmia Damya. So here we're talking about that the Tevel, before you took off the Truma, was actually the Kohen was a Shomer on it, and he wanted to be Kena the Truma, even though it wasn't yet Huram. So there, that's considered to be as if it was Huram, because we'd said, according to that Mandiyamar, Matana Shelo Hurmu, it's as if they were already Muram. And if they were already Muram, so then that means that he was Kainaid. And if he wanted to be Kainaid that Truma, well, so then of course you're Mechuyev like anything else. And therefore, when the Braita said before that you don't have any rights until it's Huram, so that Harama was not referring to the actual taking off the truma out of the tevel, because after all, matanot shelo hurmu is as if they were hurmu all. It's talking about the before it's huram in a way that the kohen can get it. But once you made the mistake of giving it to a kohen to be watch the tevel for you, and he wants to be kohen, he can be kohen right away, because mitzad hadin it's considered to be as if it was muram. Before that, so then, it's Enochinami, says Rav Chisda. Before that, even if you actually were marrying it and then ate it, you weren't mechuyev to pay for it. And that's because of the diuk that Rav Chisda made from this. Okay, Rabosai, so we are amazing that the Gemara worked it out, that we learned the Mishnah that Shmuel Chanina wanted us to learn today. And so it works out perfectly. And we've started a completely new sugya. We've reviewed the dinim of the differences between chazir v'shok and between the matanos and how they're actually mirror images of each other. Meanwhile, we touched on the din of a yosem, on a lakuach, on the difference between the goat that doesn't have any gaze, and those that do have gaze, the differences between Bechor and between Meiser Behema and the Machlokas of Matones Shalohumu, Kamishuhumu Damya, both in terms of the Matones and Zrolachayim, the Keva, and in terms of Trumas and Trumas Meiser in the latest case. A very exciting day, I hope. We missed our Richie. We thought if we put it off for 10 minutes, we'd get your Fang Tanda Helika Perek that you threatened us with yesterday. But we put on a recording of your grandfather, well known to be a chazan, that would say Fang Tanda Helika Mishnah much better than you.
Slichas, Rabbi. Slichas, Tarte Mashma.
Gave you 10 whole minutes for slichas. How much time do you need?
I'm a slow reader.
Okay. All right, everyone. We're wishing Gavi a mazel tov. Bezrat Hashem, everything should be b'sha'a tova mutzlachat. Yizkeh lachnis b'no levrito shel Avram Avinu b'zmano. Everything should go well. And he'll write us right away the besura teva and the shame of the Chodesh B'Yisrael as soon as it's available. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, wonderful. Kol tov, and only Besorot Tovot.